Rodgers in trouble. It's going to get there. He turned 32 yesterday. Does he have a vintage moment in it? In the end zone, it is caught for the win. Richard Rodgers with a walk-off touchdown. A game ender for the Packers.
Welcome to the Glass Half Empty podcast on the Big Lead. I'm Ryan Glasspiegel. We're here with Otis Wilson, has a new book coming out, If These Walls Could Talk. Otis was a linebacker on the 80s Bears teams, of course the 85 Bears, what everybody thinks of first when that comes up. So I wasn't born at that time yet, but as a student of football, one of the really interesting dynamics that sticks out is how did Mike Ditka and Buddy Ryan get along? How did they not get along?
Ooh, well, it was real simple. It was no secret. Buddy was his own man. Ditka was certainly his own man. And it was really almost like we had two head coaches. I mean, both of them was well respected, but both of them had their way of doing things. And when you're the head coach, you pretty much have the say-so to do what you want, but when you're a defensive coach, you pretty much have to conform to what the head coach is doing, but you're running your own system. Buddy's kind of conformed, but he ran his own house. We were on one side of the field, they were on one side of the field. Buddy's rule was, you stay down there and take care of your offense, and I'm going to take care of the defense. And
did they ever get in shouting matches that you saw?
Well, you know, let's say this. In sports, we as players get in shouting matches with one another because we're so competitive, and you want to win so bad that if any little thing you think is out of place, you're gonna scream about it. So, yes, they probably have more disagreements than we ever knew. But one thing about it, Buddy was the one that always took that deflection from us as players. He said, you don't mess with my players, I'll take care of my guys. And him and, you know, Dick agreed on some things and a lot of things they didn't agree on. And I always say, you don't have to agree on everything your boss say, just as long as both of y'all are on the same page. The purpose out there is to win a championship. And we had the players on defense. They had Waltz on offense, Jim, and you had the players over on that side. But he just do things different. Ditka does things different. I think when Ditka reflects back on it, and the reason why I say that is because when you listen to him talk now, you know, he says, I wish I've done things differently. You know, when one thing is to be a head coach, the other thing is to be, you know, what I call a guy that's, his philosophy was, no, it is my way or the highway. You know, I'm not going to do it all the way but this way. Well, when you get a game plan and you're playing against another team, that game plan don't always work. So you got to go to plan B sometime. So I don't think, you know, he did that enough in his career. You know, now that when we get older, we get mellower, we think about those things. We reflect on them.
Now, you and Buddy had like such mutual loyalty for each other that he actually testified on your behalf at a court hearing where you were filing a lawsuit against Al Davis over injury money. Now, can you set the scene of like what it meant for you that he would show up in the courtroom on your behalf?
Well, I back Buddy 100%. I go through a wall for him. He'll do the same thing for me and any of his players. That's just how Buddy is. I mean, he not only, you know, backed me on that case. I'll say this publicly. You know, when I had, you know, issue in my divorce, something came up. He went and did a deposition for me and told exactly how it is. You know, so that is Buddy. And that's why people love him to death, because you knew you can count on him 100% on and off the field. And that's the way we played for him. We made sure we knew everything we needed to do, and we was going to go down for him.
One of the other things you wrote about, you and Mike Ditka had one of these shouting matches where you had to be separated by Mike McCaskey, who, as an aside, was a professor for both of my parents in business school before he went back to the Bears. But can you tell me about like having that confrontation with Ditka and what might have happened if someone wasn't there to pull you guys apart?
Well, McCaskey wasn't in the room actually when we had our disagreement. And the whole premise is this. In football, you do not lose your job due to injury. You only put someone in there temporarily. Dick and I, have no secret, didn't get along. When I injured, I think it was my knee at that point. And then when I got healthy, you know, Buddy threw me back in there. Dick wanted to keep Ron Rivera. And there was a disagreement between all three of us going back and forth. So I simply went and told him, I said, listen, bottom line, like I'm, you know, our policy, you stood up in front of everybody, everybody knew, this is what it is. You know, nobody loses their job due to injury. So now you telling me you a liar? I just called him on it. Simple as that.
And he said,
you know, I just want to keep things the way they are. I kind of like it. I said, I don't care what you want to do. This is my livelihood. This is what I do for a living. You're not going to take my living away from me. And then from there, you know, he wanted to show how bad he was. I said, hey, I came from Brownsville, Brooklyn, New York. I grew up in the streets. You don't want to go in the streets with me. Simple as that. Oh, well, I'll blackball you. I said, well, if you do that, you better look over your shoulder. And from then on, it got heated. So that's all that was. But I'm not going to back down from you, him, and anybody else. When I'm right, I'm right. When I'm wrong, my mother always taught me, when you're wrong, you take the responsibility for what you've done, and you man up to it. But when you're right, you stand up to it.
Is it true that Ditka wanted the players not to do that many commercials after they won the Super Bowl when he's like out there pitching 7,000 things?
Well, you know, you don't really, what's said in the locker room stays in the locker room.
It in the book. It's already out there.
But what I'll say is this. He came down there and told us we were too dumb to do anything else. You know, I'm going to run everything through my office because our priorities are not in line. 2 weeks later, he cut everybody short. Jimbo Covert was getting ready to do a Campbell Soup commercial. I think him and Kevin Butler. He cut them out. 2 weeks later, he on Campbell Soup.
Wanted in on the package?
Well, you know, I think at that time in his life, he was selfish. You know, because when he was trying to get his job and he was reflecting back as being a player, he said simply this, take advantage of every opportunity you get on and off the field because you never know how long this is going to last. But then again, when we started doing that, he cut everybody at the knees.
Can you tell me about the
problem? Let me take that back.
Go ahead. He didn't mess
with Walter Payton.
He didn't mess with Payton. He didn't mess with McMahon. Yeah. He didn't mess with Fridge. But everybody else is in their pockets.
Yeah, so that's what it was. But I mean, so I don't want to make this the whole book about Dick.
No. We're advancing past Dicka right now. Yeah. So you write that you think that Hampton and McMichael are underrated in history. Do you think that's because there were so many good players on the Bears defense that maybe they get a little bit less credit for how historically great they were? You said like Hampton belongs in a conversation with like Reggie White, and you said like Steve McMichael definitively belongs in the Hall of Fame.
Well, I didn't say they were underrated. Mm-hmm. I said they was at times even myself and Wilbur Marshall. Mike Singletary got all the credit. For us coming around that corner, Hampton on this side, Richard on that side, pushing everything in. You know, everybody can't be the marquee player. Walter's the marquee guy on offense. You know, they tried to make Singletary the guy on defense. But we have too many great athletes. You know, and Hampton, you know, he's a Pro Bowler. You know, Richard Dent's a Pro Bowler. I mean, not a Hall of Famer. Steve should be in the Hall of Fame. Wilbur should be in the Hall of Fame. A lot of us should be in the Hall of Fame. But everybody can't get the credit. And it is what it is. You have to live with it.
Well, you see it with the Lombardi Packers. They get in 30, 40 years after the fact. Maybe it'll start to be like that with the Bears.
Well, the Bears have 27 guys that are in the Hall of Fame. Mm-hmm. They have the most in the league. Now, does that factor in? I don't know. But you have to understand, too, it's politics and everything. Everybody ain't going to get their just due. I know I'm not going into the Hall of Fame. Although I did what I did, I think I did my part. But, you know, politics is going to play a role. They're gonna pick somebody else. So that's cool. I know the real deal. You talk to Hampton. You talk to McMichaels. You talk to Richard. You talk to Singletary. They'll tell you who the horses are on our team.
Three players from that Bears defense in 85, Ron Rivera, Leslie Frazier, and Mike Singletary, went on to be head coaches. Did you see that coming?
Don't forget Jeff Fisher.
Oh, him too. Wow, yeah. Four.
Jeff Fisher was 17 years and still in the business. Yes, you see that coming because they are the type of guys that are students of the game. We're all a student of the game. But they're ingrained in it. I mean, they're going to go watch film. They're going to break stuff down deeper than we do. I'm going to know my playbook to the T, but all that other stuff I don't care about. You know, they go the extra step. And you see guys like that. I mean, they're always in the right place at the right time. They always, you know, bring little things up in the defense. You're like, oh, yeah, okay. They see stuff you don't see. So you know that's what they're made for. I mean, everybody does not have a coach material because you can play the game, but you can't coach the game. You can coach the game, and some of them can't play the game. Or then some of them would just read a book and go out there and try to coach. You read a book, you can't tell me how to play football. You got to experience it.
That's probably accurate. I don't think I could tell you how to play football. So Leslie Frazier, he suffered a knee injury on a really dumb play.
Ooh.
How much just different is football if the players from your era had the advantages of modern medicine that they have now, where like a knee injury, all of a sudden it's not wonderful to suffer or anything, but you're out 8-11 months instead of like your career being over?
You know what? That's a good thing. Everything progresses. You know, the diet progresses. I mean, the nutritional factor to help us be better athletes. The medicine, they put us back together again. The fields, the stadiums. When you're part of old school, you have to deal with what you have at hand. And, you know, number one, Steve Kazar should have never called a reverse. Come on, you're up by 30 points. You got to be the stupidest guy on earth. You know, and, you know, but Leslie is a man that if that's what you call, that's what I'm going to run. You know, him and Buddy went at it. Buddy was going to take his head off on the sideline. You mean tell me you got the best player, you know, in that secondary, you know, you ruined his career, you know. But now, like you said, yes, with medicine, shit, you come back faster than before you went out. It's like the Bionic Man now.
What's it like to practice against Walter Payton? Is he like just in practice, can you tell that he's like this transcendent athlete that's going to be historically great, or does he save maybe some of that for the games or what?
Well, number one, we always save some for the game because you don't want to burn yourself out.
You don't want to injure your teammates
either.
You
don't want to injure yourself.
Yes.
One. But yet his engine is always running. He's one of those guys that play, every practice play, like it's his last play. I mean, he makes you better. You know, I don't want to play against nobody but two people when it comes to the pad, the 707 program, and I mean the linebackers, the wide receivers, and running back. I want to go against him because I know he's the best. And if I can just stay in there, stay up there with him, I can run with anybody in the league. You know, so he makes you better. You know, but yet, is he going to, you know, give you game time speed? He might sometime, but most of the time, you know, you're going to save yourself a Sunday. You don't win in practice. You win on game time.
How often to this day do people bring up the Super Bowl shuffle with you?
Every day.
Really? Every day? Every Not day. A day There's goes by that people don't bring it by?
The Super Bowl shuffle, what the Bears going to do, can I take a picture?
I've hit one. I saw someone else ask for a picture. Maybe I'll ask about what the Bears are going to do later. So we'll hit for the cycle.
But I mean, you know, the Chicago fans really appreciate us. I mean, I think you can name 90% of that team, you know, in the 1985 Super Bowl team. To be nominated for a Grammy, to be, you know, have a red gold record, to have a platinum video, that's unheard of. And I mean, we were some gutsy kind of young guys at that time, talking about shuffling down to the Super Bowl, and before we even got there. So it was a shot in the dark, but it turned out to be the best thing ever.
So in the 80s, you get brought out impromptu at a WWF event and get a massive ovation. Did you ever consider pursuing that as a profession after football?
None whatsoever, no. I mean, it was just fun going. I think my son enjoyed it more than I did. I mean,
you were into wrestling at the time, right?
Yeah, like I watched Hogan and Junkyard Dog, Bobby Heenan, all those guys. You know, Jake the Snake. I mean, you know, me and my son would sit there and say, "Look at this. It got to be crazy."
But then Mongo went into it, yeah. And he had some success.
Mongo, Jimbo Covert, Fridge, they all did one of those WrestleMania. Everybody in the ring, and whoever gets thrown out the ring, you know, last person in, I guess, wins the prize. So, yeah, I mean, can I do that? Probably so. I mean, at that
you
time.
You said you could be a golfer, you could be a tennis player, you could be an NBA player. Is there a sport you couldn't have done, you think, and been a professional if you devoted your energy to it?
Bowling.
Bowling? No, you're bad at bowling?
That's too boring.
It's too boring, but if you would, like, really focus on it. You think bowling's boring, but golf isn't?
You know, I love golf, but I know I'll never be, you know, I'll never shoot 65. You know, I'm happy with 80 or 82. So, I mean, that's the best I'm going to ever get. I don't put enough time into it. But if I put in the time like I did in football, I think I can get out there and compete. I'm a competitor. You tell me no, I'm going to prove you wrong.
All right, let's get to the boring question about what the Bears are going to do. Are you going to, if you're in charge of the team right now, are you starting Glennon or Trubisky?
I'm starting Glennon.
Why is that?
Trubisky has not played enough football, number one, at that level. Number two, he didn't play enough at college, so he's got to mature. Throw guys out there just because they look good. And look what happened to, you know, RG3. Got thrown to the Wolves too early. Now his career is shot. Look at the kid from Minnesota. What is it, Cartwell?
Bridgewater.
I think now his career is shot. You know, just because you're a good athlete don't mean you need to be in there.
Well, yeah, there's an injury preservation aspect to playing that exactly. You have to know when to, like,
get rid of the ball,
pull up or throw the ball away.
Yeah. So, I mean, both of them are decent athletes. Now, let me say this. If I'm drafting, I'm not taking a second-string quarterback from another team and make him my number one guy. But that's what the McCaskies did. So we have to, here in Chicago as a fan, we have to live with. But I'm going to take him because he has more experience than the other guy right now. You want that guy that has more experience. Now, watching him this weekend, you know, rolling out, trying to get away from guys, he couldn't do it. You know, so for me as a defensive player, that's what I want, a sitting duck back there. That's not going to go far, so I don't have to go far. So the offense, I love our running game. You know, we have two great running backs, feed them the ball, and then, you know, throw those short passes, move the chains. That's really all we want you to do. Get first downs, get in position, either get a field goal or you know, a touchdown. But the major factor in this thing, defense wins championships. Offense wins games. Glennon is not going to win no Super Bowl for us. You know, our offense is not going to win a Super Bowl for us. They're not scoring. They're not Brady. They're not scoring a whole lot of points. You know, but if we can secure that defense, keep them healthy, shore up that secondary, get some wide receivers that can catch a doggone ball, because they dropped too many passes this weekend. I mean, Atlanta, I don't know if they came in there and took them for granted or whatever, but that didn't look like a Super Bowl team, a team that went to the Super Bowl. They didn't look like that. Now, last year, early in the year, they were looking like heroes, looking like they was going to win a Super Bowl. They didn't come in here looking like that. So, you know, the Bears are going to be okay. They're not going to be a playoff team. They're not Super Bowl caliber. So we're going to suffer as Bear fans and get whatever we get. We just hopefully everybody stays healthy.
So this day, more than 30 years after the Super Bowl victory, how many appearances are you making a year around Chicago, whether it's like speaking engagements or charity golf tournaments or at a car dealership or something? Like, how many appearances are you making a year that you're like appearing at?
Well, once the season starts, let's start with that. I'm somewhere twice a week until the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm. So that's then, like 35, 40?
Yeah, at least 50
around 50 during the season.
Sometimes I might do three or four during the week.
Okay, so let's say 50 during the season.
And then during the off season, it'll probably dwindle down to once or twice a month.
Okay, so probably 60, 70 a year, once every four or 5 days.
You know, I do very well. People still want to see us. People still enjoy those stories. And, you know, until they win another championship, who rather you have, a Super Bowl champ or them?
So this is a little bit of a personal question, but
I don't have any money and I'm not telling you who I sleep with.
No. Some of the quality of life issues for players who played during your era have been well documented. Dave Duerson tragically committed suicide. Jim McMahon has been pretty open about the troubles that he's facing. So is Refrigerator Perry. Knowing everything that you know about like the life you've led, I don't know whether you have any injuries or anything like that, but would you do everything all over again?
Well, I've been asked that question many a times, and I would probably say yes, because of the life that I lived today, and it was even greater, you know, back in the 80s and early 90s. If I didn't play ball, whether it was baseball or basketball, and just been a 9-to-5 guy, my life would have been average. Now I can pick and choose and do whatever I want to do in life. Go wherever I want to go, buy whatever I want to buy, talk to whoever I want to talk to, get through any door that I want to get through. Football's been very, very good to me and my family. As far as the injury aspect of it, I've had surgery on both my hands, I've had surgery on my knee, I've had sprained ankles. I mean, you know, I'm probably, if you look at me, take an x-ray of me, I'm a wreck. But I feel good, I feel relatively good, and I eat well, I exercise, I take care of myself as best I can. And that's really all we can do as individuals. You know, so right now, I'm excellent. 5 years from now, who knows, maybe I'll fall apart.
Do you miss, like, putting on the pads and helmet and playing on Sundays?
No.
No?
No, I don't miss that at all. I mean, I miss the camaraderie. You know, I miss the opportunity to get the kind of money these kids getting. I mean, for you not just watching the game, and look at these kids, I'm like, that's what you put out there? That's the product you're giving people? And when I think about the guys that were warriors that made the game what it is and that really didn't get their just due. And then Roger Goodell and the NFL, you know, tells us every time they see us, you guys made this game great. You do this, you do that. But they don't reciprocate. They don't pay it back. You know, they give these guys all this money and half of them don't even deserve it.
So you're on this book tour. You're getting asked a lot of same questions that I probably asked, like the Ditka, Buddy Ryan stuff, the Super Bowl shuffle, etc. What's something that nobody's asked you that you think is really important that you'd like to be asked?
Well, do you know what the God's on the shoes? People ask so many questions. Because I was at a thing yesterday in between all my interviews at Soldiers Field, and we gave them a walkthrough, a tour and all that. And a lady asked me, you know, about what are my other interests other than football? What are some of the things you do? You know, like my foundation. You know, I run a fitness program for kids. You know, it's on a high school level and middle school level. And pay it back, that I've been blessed to be a blessing to other people. You know, the movies that I've done. the TV station, the radio stations I work for. You know, do you have other interests? What are your goals? I mean, people ask the obvious. You know, they don't really sometimes want to get to know the person. They want to know what the person's done. You know, so you get a little bit of everything. I mean, there are some people that say, well, what makes Otis Wilson run? What do you do when you get up? You know, man, I'm like most people. I love, you know, to play golf now. I have two grandkids. I just really have a passion for life, have a passion for my family, and, you know, I'm just enjoying it.
All right, let's get you out of here on this. Tell me more about your foundation. That sounds really interesting.
Well, what it is a fitness program for kids from ages of 8 to 18. And my whole goal is to better some young man or some young woman life. You know, we focus heavy on education. We focus heavy on fitness. We focus heavy on nutrition. We have a crime prevention program. We have a martial arts program. We have a girls' dance program. We have Carl Linnaeus Middle School. And we have about 170 kids in the program. On the high school level, we have about 60 kids over there. We have an internship program where I brought some, you know, a contracting company together. I partnered up with them. Construction company, a truck paving company, a masonry company, and trying to get young kids to do things the right way, that there's no shortcuts. Education first. Get a job. Everybody's not going to college. You know, everybody's not college material. So, you know, these intern programs will start them at between $18 an hour, and it can possibly go up to, you know, $40 or $50 an hour. So put them in the job field. And then, you know, and so basically I get out there, you know, I work with Chicago Public School System, and I'm just trying to better these young people's lives. It's an after-school program from 3 to 6, 5 days a week. So when the kids are in school, I'm in school. Last summer, I started back up my football program. So I'm going to start up with CPS high school kids, my 7-on-7 program, and a high school combine program. Just like the NFL does their combine, check you from the rooter to the tutor, see if you're ready to go into the NFL. I'm going to do high school kids like that, so get them ready to go into college, because they're giving away scholarships. You know, my mom couldn't afford a scholarship. You know, my grandmother, you know, she was an entrepreneur. She said, I got enough money for my oldest brother to go to college. So I said, I got to go tackle people. I got to go shoot these hoops. I got to do something different, else I'm going to just be a 9-to-5 man. And it worked out. So I want to get these, I lived it. So I want to get these kids on the same track. Now, am I going to help everybody? No. But we have probably about 300 kids I worked with for the last 20 years, and just pushing them out. Some of the kids that I've worked with in the program actually worked for me. You know, so, you know, and I asked them one thing, just pay it back, just like I paid it back for you. And that's really all it is. It's just helping people that, you know, might not see their way or see obstacles, help them navigate.
Thank you, Otis. Really appreciate your time. Otis Wilson, 85 Bears linebacker. Thanks again.
Roof, roof, go, go Bears.
Such turned strange.